1 Corinthians 16. We need a generation of Christians who know and practice what I call powerful Christian living. And this morning I want to describe that living for you. And we find that description in the portion of Scripture that I read, verses 13 and 14. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all things be done with charity or love. If we had time and we could study the whole book of 1 Corinthians in one message, we could say that much of this letter to the Corinthian church has to do with rebuke and correction. In fact, the first 14 chapters deal primarily with errant behavior, while chapter 15 deals with errant theology. And even 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, was given to correct lovelessness that so characterized the Corinthian church. But always, Paul's rebuke and correction were bathed in divine love, meaning he was simply following the pattern which we find in Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now the two verses again that I want us to focus on today give us five simple commands. So keep in mind, these are not suggestions, these are commands. I think too often we look at the Ten Commandments as 10 suggestions. Ladies and gentlemen, they are given to us to obey. They are not take it or leave it. We are commanded to do certain things, to live in a certain way. And here we find five commandments, five simple commands, which really are the final admonitions found in this book. And so they must be important. They basically are the end of the book. These are the final things that Paul wants to say to the Corinthian church. Now, in some ways, they really are the positive side of what Paul had told the Corinthians not to be. And so what we find here in so walking and so living is a powerful life, a life that has a transforming effect on those around him. Ladies and gentlemen, it matters how you live. You influence either for good or for evil every day. I don't say this in a prideful way at all. I want my life to affect you for good. I want your lives to affect those that you contact, because every one of us touches someone every day. Every one of us has some effect on someone else every day. Now, what is that effect going to be? And so my challenge to you today is, be an American that affects others for good. Be an American that challenges others to live a righteous, godly, God-pleasing, God-blessed life. And so, let's pray and then look at these five simple and yet vitally important commands. Father, thank you so much for your word, and Lord, bless the truth to our hearts. Give us hearts that receive it, hearts that lay hold of it, hearts that embrace, hearts that obey what you are commanding us to be and to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Command number one, we will live a powerfully effective life when we, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye. The Greek word used here means to be awake, to be vigilant. We could say to be alert. In other words, Paul says we are to be spiritually alive, be informed, be on guard. And let me give you six important areas where we need to be watching, where we need to be alert, where we need to be alive. Alive to the environment around us. And the first one is we need to be alert to Satan and his devices. What does Peter tell us? 1 Peter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan is no friend. He's your adversary. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that he's seeking those he can devour. And what does Peter say? Whom resist steadfast in the faith. We are to resist Satan, and the promise is he will do what? Flee from us. Remember, Satan always attacks us in three ways. Lust of the flesh, this is how he attacked Eve. Lust of the eyes, and the what? Pride of life. So we are to be alert to Satan. Secondly, we are to be alert to temptation. Our Lord told his disciples in Mark 14, verse 38, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready or willing, but the flesh is weak." What is Christ telling us here? If we are not watching, if we're not seeking God's help through prayer, too often we'll not even notice when the temptation comes. So what prayer does, ladies and gentlemen, and this is such a beautiful thing, it opens. When we close our eyes in prayer, God opens our eyes to sin and its deceitful ways. What a beautiful thing. We are to be alert to temptation. Thirdly, we are to be alert to apathy and indifference. Perhaps you recall what Christ's message to the church at Sardis was. Let me read those verses for you from Revelation chapter 3. "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." What was Christ telling these believers? Recall, remember what you have been taught, and then act upon it. Obey the light that God gives to you. Obey the light God gives to you. Don't have an apathetic, indifferent attitude toward the truth of God's word. Have ears to hear and a heart to receive. Every time you come to this place, every time you open the word, you need to say, "Lord, might I realize this is your word. This is God speaking to me." How we can be apathetic and indifferent to the word of God is appalling. The truth is we lose the truth that we fail to live out. And so how important it is that we have a proactive Christianity, that we are alert to apathy and indifference. I say, pray for a heart that is zealous toward the things of God. You don't look at church as, "Oh, got to go to church." You don't look at the word as, "Oh, time for devotions." There's a zealousness to wanting God to speak to me. We are to be alert, fourthly, to false teachers. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, I read, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." I think of Paul's words to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the living, and his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." The best way to be alert against false teachers is to be an Acts 17 Berean. Listen to how Luke describes these believers from Berea. These were, and I quote, "more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." We are to be alert to false teachers. Fifth, we are to be alert to prayer. In other words, we are to watch and pray. One author writes, and I know we touched on this earlier, but prayer strengthens us in God's way just as it protects us against Satan's way. Let's understand prayer is not simply some ritual in the Christian life. It truly is the heartbeat of our walk with God, our communion with Him. If you want to know where you are in your spiritual walk, analyze your prayer life. Little prayer, little relationship with the living God. Little prayer, little relationship with life. Because in Christ, we have our life. And so if you're not in communion with Him who is our life and our salvation, you really have little life. You have an existence, but you don't have a life. Paul writes in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And the context of that verse is found in the description of the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. So we are to be alert to prayer. Prayer is part of our armor. And then we are under command number one, we are to be alert, we are to watch, we as Christians are to be alert to the Lord's return. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord is coming. And I believe it will be soon. I mean, He is coming. You best be ready. You best be ready to get on board. The train is soon to leave the station. Two of the greatest motivations we have to live faithfully the Christian life are remembering what Christ has done for us and then focusing on His return. Christ said in Matthew 24:42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Peter writes, in light of Christ's coming, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? John adds, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Again, how do we live a powerfully effective life? How are we salt and life in this corrupt and dark world? We watch. We are alert to Satan, to temptation, to apathy, to indifference, to false teachers. We are alert to prayer. We are alert to the Lord's return. We are awake. Like the men of Issachar, we know and understand the times and the seasons, and so we know what we ought to do. If you're sleeping right now, wake up! Amen? Wake up! It's time to wake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you life. What is the problem with America today? Christians are not alert. They are not watching. Second command. To live a powerfully effective life, we need, as verse 13 tells us, to stand fast in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. We need to be alert. We need to stand firm in the faith. Now, the faith of which Paul speaks of here is not the faith of trusting that leads to salvation, but rather the faith of truth. In other words, the content of the gospel, the doctrines of the truth. Jude describes it as the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Paul calls it the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Paul adds in 1 Timothy 6:12, it is the faith with which we are to fight the good fight. Paul told the Philippians in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, only let your conversation as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I might hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast, stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the, notice, the faith of the gospel. Now, Satan cannot take from us our saving faith, but he sure can, and he sure often does, bring questions and doubts concerning our doctrinal beliefs. Amen? The content of our faith. For too often Christians are carried about with every wind of doctrine. Oh, let me think about that. There are some things you don't need to debate any longer. How often kids go away to school, or they get away from home, stop going to church, or whatever church they do go to. It's not a Bible preaching, practicing church. And so what happens? They begin to question everything. Oh, well, that's just, all those Sunday school stories are just nice stories, fables. How easy it is to apply human wisdom and philosophy to our interpretations of God's Word. To filter the truth through man's understanding. Now please realize the only way we can rightly understand and apply the truths of God's Word is through spiritual discernment. Not man's discernment, but spiritual discernment. And this comprehension comes to pass through the author of the book, the Holy Spirit, which means as we study to show ourselves approved unto God, we become workmen that need not to be ashamed. Why? Because we are, by God's Spirit, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we can stand fast, we can stand firm and hold the traditions we then have been taught. We can stand perfect or mature and complete, fully assured in all the will of God, Colossians 4:12. Again, how do we live a powerfully effective life? We stand fast in the faith. Every doctrine is not up for questioning, for debate, for analysis. What God said, I believe it, and that settles it. Young people, thank God if you were raised in a Christian home where your mom and dad took God's word and taught you the truths of this book. You are blessed by that. You have been given light. Don't put that light under a bushel. If you want to live a powerfully effective life, you've got to stand firm and fast in the truth, in the faith. Command number 3, we live a powerfully effective life when not only we are alert, when not only we stand fast, firm in the faith, but when we act like men. The King James says, quit you like men, which simply means we possess, I love this, a mature courage. We are marked by a sense of control, of confidence, of courage that the immature or childish person fails to own. Now, to the immature Christians, Paul said, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice or in evil be ye children, but in understanding be men. Be men. 1 Corinthians 14:20, which tells us that the Corinthians needed to grow up. Remember, Paul said, I can't talk to you as spiritual men, but as babes in Christ, for you are not able to receive solid food. What about spiritual maturity? How do we as believers grow and mature? How do we build into our hearts that mature courage to be alert, to be firm in our convictions, in the truth of God's Word? How do we gain spiritual insight, emotional stability, moral purity, stature that belongs to the fullness of Christ? How do we chronically speak the truth in love as we grow up in all aspects of Christ? Well, Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may what? Grow thereby. That we grow in respect to our salvation, that we grow in respect to our sanctification. The Bible is our spiritual and moral nourishment, which thus means for the effect of the word to be in us, we must be, I know this sounds trite we must be in the Word. And let me say that again. For the effect of the Word to be in us, we must be in the Word. Paul said to Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And this is the effect, that the man of God may be perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished, fully equipped for every good work. For us to live powerfully effective lives, we must be courageously mature. We must quit you like men. We must be people of the Word. Let me ask you, do you have a schedule that you follow as far as your Bible reading? I mean, if I asked you, what does your Bible reading routine look like? What would you say? What is your habit? What are your habits in regards to God's Word? Say, well, I do my own thing. Well, that's good. Well, what is that old thing? You know? Be in the Word every day. I start the day in the Word. I end the day in the Word. I'm in the Word throughout the day. You say, well, you're a preacher. Amen. Command number 4, to live a powerfully effective life, we must be alert, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be mature, and then we must be strong. The Greek used here denotes inner spiritual strength. We're not talking about physical muscles, we're talking about spiritual strength. The verb is in the passive voice, which literally means be strengthened, which tells us we cannot strengthen ourselves. Our part is to submit ourselves to God in order that He can strengthen us. Remember, we can only be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Ephesians 6:10. Only by God's grace can we be strong. 2 Timothy 2:1. And why is all this important? Only the spiritually strong can successfully battle and overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Only God's grace can give us that strength. To defeat the enemy, you've got to be stronger than the enemy. And that strength, to be stronger than the enemy, can only come from God. And only God's grace can give us that strength. Remember that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure and infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am what? Strong. And this grace is given, as we just read, to the humble who practice, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, self-discipline. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a what? Castaway. And then we grow in this spiritually given strength as we exercise, as we use our strength, as we walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11 says, strengthened with might, with all might, according to his glorious power. And thus we can say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I love the words of Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And as we wait on the Lord, Ephesians 3:16 tells us that we will be strengthened with might by God's Spirit in the inner man. How do we live a powerfully effective life? By being strong in the Lord. By being strong in His might. By being strong through His Spirit. By being strong by His grace. Ladies and gentlemen, when you are strong by God's grace, when you are strong by His might, you are strong. You are strong. By the way, people know when you're strong. People need to be able to know when they're in your presence, that man, that woman, that young person is strong in the Lord. That is powerful. You can't resist that. And then one more command. How do we live a powerfully effective life? Well, we're alert. We stand fast in the faith. We're mature, courageously mature. We're strong in the Lord. Verse 14 says, by doing all we do with love. Verse 14, let all your things or your work be done with charity or love. Why is love so important? Because love complements and balances all we do. As one author keenly states, and I quote, it is the beautiful softening principle. It keeps our firmness from being hardness. It keeps our strength from becoming domineering. It keeps our maturity gentle and considerate. It keeps our doctrine from becoming obstinate dogmatism, and our right living from becoming smug self-righteousness. I think we need love, amen? It keeps our right living from becoming smug self-righteousness. We don't say, look at me, when there's love in our hearts. Again, love is what the Corinthians needed most, and it is what you and I need as well. As Peter declares, above all things, think about that as a statement, and above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love covereth, shall cover the multitude of sins. And keep in mind, love, like spiritual strength, comes from the Lord. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. And as 1 John 4:7 tells us, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. If you are practicing love, you are born of Him and you know Him. What a beautiful life. Ladies and gentlemen, to live a powerfully effective life, we must be watching. In other words, we must be alert. We must be standing fast. We must be standing firm in the faith. We must be acting like men. There needs to be a mature courageousness. We must be strong in the Lord. We must be loving. We must allow the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And I must say it, this kind of obedience is desperately needed to hold back the tide of evil and fulfill the commission Christ has given to us all, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And Christ says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The Great Commission will become an effective means of evangelizing this world when we watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you, like men, be strong, let all things be done with love. I believe America can once again be great if its Christians know and practice powerful Christian living. That means we are alert, we are firm in the faith, we are mature, we are strong in the Lord, and we love as God loves us. Let me ask you, how do you stack up? How many of these five commands are you following? How many of these five commands are you obeying? You will affect others for righteousness. You will bring goodness to pass in this country if you live a powerfully effective life. And I challenge you. I pray that Westside will be filled with such believers. Amen. And amen.